The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Well, the Zamboni's on the ice here at Climate Pledge Arena, and that means in a few minutes the San Jose Sharks are going to be hitting the ice. Our morning skate show is coming to you from a rink in which the Sharks won 6-1 last time we were here. But the Sharks are coming off maybe their most disappointing effort overall of the season in the 2-0 loss in Calgary. Drew, when you go through that as a coach, first of all, what do you look at when you're looking in the mirror at what you did to get ready for the game, and what do you do to get ready for the next one?
Well, that's the number one thing. A lot of coaches will look and talk to each other and say, okay, what did we do wrong? Good coaches do that. Good coaches look at it and go, okay, what did we miss before the game? Why weren't they ready to go? What did we do wrong? So you look at yourself first. You have that conversation. You try to correct those things going into the next practice. And that was probably what they talked about, was the fact that they had an unscheduled day off when they got to Calgary. And that's probably what the discussion was. We should have skated them, because they looked like a team that was not ready to go and was living on the past six wins. The other aspect you look at is, okay, besides that, there wasn't really anybody besides Yaroslav Askarov who was good in that game, great in that game. How do we correct that? What do we think? And again, you'll go back to practice. You were here yesterday at practice. You watched them, the coaches put the guys through the paces, and a gentle reminder, gentle being in quotation marks, that the work never stops. You never stop working. And the third thing you'll look at is, and you'll ask the guys, you'll talk to your core guys, why wasn't there any response after the first period when you were so dominated? Why wasn't there any response after the second period when you were so dominated? And there was only a little bit of a response in the third period. It was after some chances at the net, and Reeves and Gaudreau and Delandre got things going. But you'll have that conversation with them. And then after that, you reflect on it and go, okay, is it because we're young? Is it because we're not as good as we think we are? Or is it because that we just weren't ready to go and it's our job to get the guys ready? You'll stay up for nights thinking about that game. A lot of people say, they just weren't ready, just flush it. You better learn your lessons, because the Kraken tonight, as you said, Sharks, they gave up 6 against San Jose. What do you think they're going to be like tonight? How's their mood going to be?
Well, they're going to be fired up.
Exactly. So for the Sharks, it was a nice reminder of, don't quite plan the parade route yet. And sometimes lessons learned in pain are lessons best remembered.
When I was at practice yesterday, I noticed the intensity with which they were skating, and they were doing some body drills. They were doing some real battle-type things to get them back into it. And after the practice, Ryan Warsawski told us, he said, you know, the only thing I thought about was having that day off. So you're right on the money for that. And he said, you have to kind of judge it. You talk to the sleep consultants, you talk to, you know, the performance people, and you try to kind of get a gauge for where it was. And he said that he really expected that the team would come out flying, and they didn't. But here's the next thing. What does a young, up-and-coming leader like Macklin Celebrini learn through that procedure to try to get better, to help drag his team back into the fight?
Great question. I would think just being around Macklin as we have been and seeing his intensity in every game, seeing the fact that he doesn't have, I can't remember anyway, back-to-back poor games. And I'm not even saying he had a poor game.
No, I don't think it was poor.
In fact, when you look at the guy that was pushing to try to get something going, to, as you said, drag his team into the fight, He was that guy in the third period that showed a response. I don't know if Macklin you have to worry very much. I'm just, that's funny because you say that. As I start talking about Macklin as the Zambonis are out, just we're just turning to our right, and there's Alex Nedeljkovic and Macklin waiting to get on the ice. I think the benefit of having Macklin and the way he thinks the game and how intense he is, and the fact that for him, the only satisfaction is winning, not the points or the accolades or all the talk about this, that, and the other thing. It is about winning hockey. I don't think you have to worry much about him. I think he probably learns more lessons or already has that mindset that you need in order to not bounce back, but return the team, push the team, help the team back into a winning mode.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I was not meaning to imply that he wasn't bad either. I thought that he was really trying. But, you know, sometimes the tendency for a young superstar like this is to try to do it all yourself. And the thing is that he is learning about how to manage people in the way that I'll go back in time in Sharks history, that Joe Pavelski managed people, that he understood what's going on in the room. He knew exactly what to say or what to do on the bench with his line mates or whatever to get that extra little bit of toothpaste tube squeezed out of that tube that was so empty. And I think that's where the Sharks were. I'll tell you one thing, Yaroslav Askarov. I mean, since 1955, I think it is, no goalie has had a higher save percentage than he's had in the last five games, which is incredible. And, you know, it's right up there. Nabby had a couple of five-game runs like that, too. But we're looking at something special.
Yeah, 1955-56 is when they started keeping track of save percentage. And no goaltender has had that high a save percentage without having a shutout in those five games. So that shows you how fantastic he has been. And what we were worried about before, you got to give Ryan Warsawski and the coaching staff and Thomas Spear especially credit, is that Ryan Warsawski said, I can't remember where we were, but he said, basically, relax. He's young. He's played less than 20 games at that time in the NHL. We have confidence in him. He's working on it. Thomas is working on it. And I think, go back to what Devin Cooley talked about with you in the Calgary game, working with the goaltender department that we have with San Jose was a bonus for him, and it certainly has been for Yaro. And Yaro's got that swagger back now. You need that swagger, man. I think ego and swagger gets a bad rap. He uses it properly, and he's been terrific in the last five games. He's got his game back.
We're really happy to see that Alex Nedeljkovic is back with the team after taking some time off for personal reasons. Whatever happened, he said everything is fine now, so that's all you really need to know. The other part is that Jeff Skinner is going to be out for a while. It's pretty obvious, and that was an ugly, ugly collision with the boards in that very first period, only a minute 15 or so into the game. And so that means that the Sharks have to make a recall from the AHL, and they're going to recall Zach Ostapchuk, who is going to be available. And obviously what that tells me is that they're probably going to upgrade Adam Gaudette a little bit today, and they'll probably, if Ostapchuk gets in, he gets in on that line with Reeves and with Goodrow.
I think you're right. I thought maybe Chernyshov might come up, or I thought maybe Quentin Musty might come up.
Or Colin White.
But Colin would be the guy, the veteran guy that could come up. But I think the fact that they're, again, trying to walk those guys along with their development plan is probably why that they bring Zach up. He's a big body. Zach can skate. Zach knows his role on the fourth line, so that's why he'll be here. And I think you're right about everybody else. Jeff Skinner, it amazed me with Jeff Skinner. How tough is that kid?
Oh, he's tough.
I mean, he jams that foot into the boards, and we saw it jolt back, and it's not supposed to do that. Pushes himself as much as he can, and he was in agony and still tried to get to the bench. And then after that, he's in the walking boot, and, you know, walking through customs into the hotel and everything else.
Not with a
smile on his face. But I know that guy's a hockey player, man. But I think you're right.
I think that's how it's going to turn out, too.
Yeah.
And looks like we're going to, I'm not sure about the goaltending. We'll probably see Nedeljkovic tonight, but we'll have to wait and see. On the other side, a guy we know well, Matt Murray, is going to be in goal. Of course, he played against the Sharks in the Stanley Cup Final. As we look ahead, we've got the Sharks and the Seattle Kraken. San Jose has allowed two goals or less in eight straight games, which is too short of the club record. They came oh so close to becoming the first Sharks team ever to allow one goal in five straight games when that empty netter went in. But the goaltenders have done the job, and we'll see what it's like starting at 6:30 tonight. Drew and I will be on the air on the Sharks Audio Network. Until then, that is our morning skate show today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.